Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Le'Veon Bell's with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. Antonio Brown's on the Raiders. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money down on all the games. My bookie is the place to bet every football weekend. My bookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sportsbook, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win $100,000, and it costs only $100 to enter. All you gotta do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. My bookie's been good to me, but paid for school supplies over the summer. It's the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. And they have live in-game betting. You can bet on fantasy points. And right now, they're having a first deposit bonus. Use the promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. Basically, you put $100, you get another 100. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, welcome in. It's Vlad Harris here on the Panther Rants podcast. It's the third week of August. College football is coming up pretty soon. We got it's the last weekend of no college football. I mean, we got preseason NFL, but who gives a shit about that? We'll get into that later. But I'm sure, you know, school is coming in. My kids start Monday. So today and tomorrow they got to meet the teacher. So I'm working from home today because it's going to be a real pain in the ass for me to leave work and then go where they're at and then go back to school. But it's like they're stretching it out. Like my kid's in second grade. She has hers today, which is like, you know, kindergarten through second grade. So she's second grade. Third through fifth is tomorrow, which is my oldest. But, yeah, they start Monday, and of course, you know, we got everything situated. You know, it's funny because, like, we asked about backpacks, you know, what they wanted for backpacks. And my oldest child, his backpack from last year is still, it's, like, brand new. There's nothing wrong with it because he actually wanted a grown-up backpack. So he wants to keep that same backpack. So I said, more power to you. I mean, we'll still buy him another one. It's just, you know, he can start off with that because kids are hard on backpacks. And, you know, I remember when he was like in first or second grade, we had to replace his backpack middle of the school year. My daughter, she wanted two backpacks last year, and she went through one, but now she has the other one. But, you know, we'll probably buy another one as well. It just, those deals they give you at, like, Toys R Us, because that's where we used to get the kids' backpacks. Because, like, you buy one and you get a free lunch kit with it. It was a great deal. The problem is, you know, they would, you know, give you all these deals and these backpacks, and they're great deals. But the problem is you got to look at the return value. A lot of times these backpacks break in the middle of the year, and you end up by Christmas doing that, which is why I did by Christmas. I was ordering them new backpacks by then. And plus, sometimes, you know, if they, you know, when they buy it, you know, beginning of the year, maybe they want Pokemon. Then Pokemon goes out of style, you know, during the school year, and of course, the kid doesn't want that, you know. But my oldest one, he wanted a grown-up one. Nothing on it, just a regular, like, hiking-like backpack. So I can't complain with that. I mean, I think for me growing up, we went from backpacks to, like, duffel bags. Because, you know, that was the cooler thing. Like, we, you know, Like, but yeah, that was at least my fourth or fifth grade when we went to duffel bags, because that was the cooler thing, because you got it was like that big strap you carried on, you know, around your shoulder. You know, to us, regular backpacks were just, they just weren't cool. You know, they were little kid stuff. But then it's weird because by the time we got to high school kids have backpacks, and so you switch back. But of course, you know, in my case, a lot of kids carry their entire locker in their backpacks. So that wasn't cool. And of course, you had to deal with people, you know, if you had a backpack, you had to deal with people grabbing your backpack as you're going down the steps or going up the steps, them pulling on it. And of course, for us, what was the cool thing in high school? It wasn't backpacks then. It was just going to your locker and just, you know, carrying one or two books, you know. Yeah, that's all you did. But then by the time we got to college, nobody gave a shit. And so you went back to carrying a backpack. It's weird how that shit works. I mean, you went from duffel bag, you know, as a kid, the bigger backpack, whether it's Gremlins or whatnot, duffel bag. Then early in high school, back to a backpack, but then realizing it's not cool. So you don't carry one. You just carry your books with you. Which, you know, is kind of dumb. It's very dumb, especially in wintertime. And then college, you're back to a backpack. Weird. But, another year. And, you know, hopefully things work out, you know, for both my kids. My youngest one is still in daycare, so. And I know my oldest one, he'll be going to middle school next year. And by next year, I'm going to have three kids in three different schools. So, you know, for me, professionally, I'm probably going to have to make a lot of decisions on what I'm going to do or what we're going to do with these, you know, kids, if we're going to move one closer to the other. It's a lot of things. I mean, I'm actually considering probably this year looking for a job working from home. Because, you know, just of that. Because you know, we're going to need to get, you know, someone's going to need to get through all three kids. So, we'll see how that goes. But I got a lot of time to think about that yet. Anyways, let's get to some sports, because that's what we're really trying to talk about. My podcast has moved to another platform. No whole lot's going to change. You'll still be able to view it the same way, whether it's iTunes. It's just our whole media group has moved. It's pretty good so far. I can't complain. Now, Pitt is coming up on their season, and we got a lot to talk about there. Right now, I've set like 5 goals for Pitt this year that they need to do. And, you know, I had number one as the first thing I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to move that. Actually, I had 5 things. I may have 6 now, just thinking about it. 5 things and 6. Well, first of all, you know what? I can put the 6 on the last one. Okay, first of all, wins. Wins, I'm setting the goal for Pitt to 8 to 9 wins. They, you know, last year they won like 7. They won 7 games. They could have won more if a lot of things fell in place. It was a big step from the big leap from the, you know, year before when they won only like 5 games, maybe 4 games. I mean, they went from not making a bowl game to winning the ACC Coastal Division. So that's a big leap in itself, right there. But Pitt needs to get the 8-9 wins. On paper, it's there in front of them. It's possible. I even said they can probably, I have them at 9-3, 7-1 in their division, which is very, very positive of me. But reality probably says 8-4, 7-5. and possibly 6-2, 5-3 in conference. So I'm not really, I'm very optimistic, but I also know that in the real world, it's going to be a little different probably. And who knows, maybe in real world, things are a little different. Maybe it's more than just 8 or 9 wins. Maybe it's 10, 11. Who knows? But Pitt needs to get back to winning 8, 9 games. It's there in front of them. And maybe after winning their division, they realize it's in front of them. And the only way to go is up. And looking how they got a bunch of commits this year in the summer, I think the culture obviously is changing. They're all in, you know, it seems like they're all in sync. They know what's in front of them, what the goal, what the mission is, and they get better every day, and they're doing that. And, you know, obviously recruits are noticing that. So we'll find out when they kick off against Virginia how things go. But, you know, as far as this Pitt season goes, there's been a lot of irresponsible reporting from a lot of national publications on how they're going to be. The narrative is Pitt backed into the Coastal Division, which is hilarious because I think they won the Coastal with like 2 games left on their schedule. So I really just don't get that at all. Well, actually, I think they have 1 more game left, but still, they were already in when they defeated Wake Forest for the Coastal Division. They were already in control of the conference. They controlled their destiny already, so they didn't back into anything. There was a lot of teams in contention for the Coastal. Nobody seemed to want to grab the division. Pitt went ahead and did just that, and they did against Virginia Tech that night. That night when they dropped 50+ on them. That was the night the Pitt had the Coastal wrapped up and had the momentum. Everything went to Pitt's side that night. And then Wake Forest was just the finishing it off. Yeah, true, we lost to Miami. But we won just enough games in that time. We did just enough to clinch it. So the Miami game, whatever. It basically was a throwaway game until we got to the championship game. So, long story short, pretty much that game was a throwaway game. It meant nothing. If you look back, I mean, the Miami game really didn't mean a whole lot. I mean, it sucked to get our asses kicked. But it's good that we waited till, you know, towards the end of our schedule for that to happen, because we were still in the title game no matter what, and it really didn't have much impact on what bowl game we're going to have either. So, I mean, it sucked to lose that game, but it really just, it wasn't too disastrous. I mean, we know Miami was great athletically. They always have really good, talented players. And we knew we had weaknesses. And, of course, you know, we lost one of our top offensive linemen the week before. And Miami blew us up. They blew up the running game. And they made us pass. And, well, when you have a weak passing game like we had, it reared its ugly head. And, of course, we get the, you know, we play Clemson. And, of course, in order for us to get into that, stay in that game, we were going to have to throw the ball. And we couldn't. Yeah, we couldn't do dick in that game. So, one thing for my second goal is establishing the last scrimmage on both sides. Pitt lost Rashad Weaver, and that sucks, but there's plenty of guys that have been in this program enough. Someone's got to step up in their roles and step in. And that's what it is. I mean, you're going to have injuries, and a lot of these guys got to practice prepare as if they're starting. As if they're going to start that game. So you got to be ready. It's all about preparation. Offensively, you know, on the line, we lost a great share of players. So we definitely need to establish an offensive line because Our quarterback's going to need time to throw the ball, and we're breaking some new running backs as well. They got to run. And which leads to my next point. We need better production from the passing game. So goal number three is better production from the passing game. You know, Pitt was 5-2 when throwing for 150-plus yards last year. And they got to keep on that. But a lot needs to happen for that. Which leads to my fourth goal. A QB needs to be the man. Two of our best leaders from last year on offense are gone. Quadri Olison and Darren Hall. Somebody at quarterback needs to step in and be the man. We haven't had that since Nathan Peterman graduated. And if you look at the history, really, it hasn't really been good to us as far as quarterbacks go. I mean, the last guy I can probably say that was the man was probably, Bill Stahl. We haven't had a real clear leader on offense when it comes to quarterback. You could argue Tom Savage as well, but he was only there for like a year. But basically, we need somebody to come in and take command. And Kenny Pickett's in year three. This is make or break for him. We got a new offensive coordinator. Mark Whipple is supposedly doing some wonders with the passing game and whatnot, supposedly. But we won't know nothing until these guys take the field. And they have game one, they got Virginia. And Virginia but they're being allowed it as the favorite to win the Coastal. They got them winning 10, some publications got them winning 10, 11 games this year. I don't see how, but they do. So this is it. I mean, this is make or break. So somebody at quarterback has to step up because offensive coordinators can fix as much as they can, but they can't make the throws for the quarterback and they can't make the reads for them. They got to know how to do this by now. And Kenny Pickett needs to do that. Because last year, although Sean Watson screwed up a lot of things, Kenny Pickett didn't do himself any favors either. So he's got to nut up and do something this year. He's got, we saw him one time be the man, and that was against Miami. We obviously need that guy back. And let's hope we can get him back. Because if not, somebody else needs to step up. Which is why we got, a backup quarterback situation happening. Because those guys that are battling for that backup, they know they're one horribly bad Kenny Pickett game away or an injury away from starting. And finally, number five, we got special teams. Obviously, we obviously blew the Notre Dame game with some bad kicking. Other offense, didn't really help much, and the referees didn't help much, but we blew some field goals in that game, and not to mention we struggled with our punting and, of course, friggin' extra points early in the year. I mean, the Penn State game was a disaster. It's almost as if the punter, placed a huge bet on himself and, through the game. Obviously, we need better special teams production. Now, number six, I just added. Number six, win a bowl game. I mean, first year, I get there first, but when you get there, win it. They have not. Penn or Doozy has not won a bowl game yet. His first year, they went to the bowl in Annapolis. They lost, I think it was a Navy they lost to. Then after that, they went and played Northwestern in the Yankee Bowl or the Big Apple Bowl? Pinstripe Bowl. It was going to be called the Big Apple Bowl, I remember one time. And people screamed about it. It was going to be when the Big East was still there and together, That was going to be the Big Apple Bowl was going to be the supposed new New Year's Day Bowl for the Big East, because you know we were losing the Orange Bowl and whatnot because all of our so-called power teams left for the ACC. So the Big East was going to come with the Big Apple Bowl, and it was supposed to be. And I think instead of Yankee Stadium, it was going to be played in the brand new Jet Stadium. I don't think that stadium was built yet. No, this was back in 2003, 2004. I remember. So that I remember that was like it was a big thing, especially on the Panther Lair message boards. The Big Apple Bowl, we're gonna get it. We didn't see it for some time, and I think at one point I don't think the Big East was playing in the Big Apple Bowl. And I think it was ACC Big Ten, and I don't think we're even members of it yet. Anyways, guys, let's break for another ad from our sponsor. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion on your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals of your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot makes great deal. Yellow, good deals. Red dot, not so good. Use our promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 on your first purchase. That's two free beers on the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's event. We have the tickets. All right, guys, we're back. Two more things we got to cover here. First of all, two big things. Well, they're not really big things. I mean, if you're coming to this podcast, your big thing obviously is pit stuff, right? Exactly. Which reminds me, tomorrow I'm going to do the, if I can record tomorrow, I'll probably do the entire college football landscape for tomorrow. When who wins what conference, who's in the playoff and whatnot. All right. As you all know, Jay-Z is partnering with the NFL. And of course, a lot of people are screaming about this. The same people who lauded Jay-Z and celebrated this guy are now saying Jay-Z is just a greedy billionaire who's stepped over everybody. It's weird. It's like the people who, and of course he was a drug dealer who made his life off of people's misery. And then you got the other side who hated Jay-Z now saying, "Oh, this is great," you know. He's a businessman. He knows what. It's weird. It's like you had one side that was for him. And of course, you know, with his wife as well. And supposedly he was woke because, you know, he wore a Kaepernick jersey. And he was loud because he refused to play the Super Bowl because of, you know, the banning of Kaepernick. Now he's partnering with them. So the same people are lying for this are now calling, you know, are now saying what the people that hated them said about him. And of course, the people that hated him love him now. And he just, you know, it's just weird. It's confusing. I think people need to really just wait and see how this plays out. You know, does Jay-Z use this as a money-making opportunity? Because supposedly Jermaine Dupri had the same deal, and Jay-Z told him not to take it. And this was like last year. I don't believe that. I'm sure he had a deal with the NFL, but it probably wasn't the same deal as Jay-Z had. It was probably wasn't, you know, the whole thing probably just wasn't the same. And if Jermaine Dupri is a businessman like Jay-Z, I think he would know whether to decline that deal or not. Just because Jay-Z told him not to take the deal doesn't mean he should have. I mean, Jermaine's grown. He's older. I'm saying he's probably in his 40s now, maybe. Let's see. How old is Jermaine Dupri? So Jermaine Dupri is how old? He's in his 40s still. Jermaine Dupri is 47 years old. All right, so and he's been a businessman long enough. then he should know whether if it's a good deal or not. But somebody, I mean, as I listen to other shows, and I think I listen to, you know, for one thing, there's Speak for Yourself that has Whitlock, Wiley, and who and LeVar Arrington was on the show as well. One point they brought up is if LeBron is very interested in owning an NFL team or having ownership. And obviously the NFL owners aren't too crazy about him because LeBron has taken his share of shots at the NFL. You know, getting somebody like Jay-Z in is going to get somebody like LeBron in. So they need somebody at the table with these owners. You send in Jay-Z. That's the guy you send in. But the thing is the comments that Jay-Z made obviously didn't sit well with a lot of people. And so he doesn't. So that's why a lot of people are not really optimistic about this whole thing to begin with. I mean, people are saying now that he buried Kaepernick and Eric Reid. Well, the thing is Eric Reid's still playing. He's still getting a paycheck. I don't think Jay-Z buried Kaepernick. Kaepernick's movement in terms of the NFL has been buried for some time. It doesn't have as, you know, Kaepernick is still doing his thing with Nike and whatnot, but it doesn't have the same impact as it did. It doesn't have the same momentum. And really, it's become, you know, right now it's back page, and not to mention there's only like three or four guys are left that are kneeling. It doesn't, you know, it's not that big of a story anymore. On top of that, Kaepernick's been out of the league for 3 years, so nobody's going to sign him at this point. I mean, if he does get signed, it's going to be for a backup or a third string. I mean, if he wants to be a starter, it's not going to happen. Not for 3 years being out. But I think people need to just wait and see how it goes. That's all I can do on these type of things. See how it plays out. See what Jay-Z does. Before, you know, going off on these rants. But that's how we react. We react to certain doom. And, you know, I saw a tweet this morning where somebody said somebody's playing, you know, because one of the Miami, coaches played Jay-Z games for, or Jay-Z songs for the first 8 songs of practice. And supposedly the guy, people thought it was to trigger Kenny Stills, but he knew about it before. The coach even told me he was going to play them. Anyways. Last and certainly not least, the Antonio Brown saga. Now, Antonio Brown has one more hearing about his helmet of what he can do with it. And I think he's found a loophole. Well, actually, there's a loophole where supposedly it's something in regards to that specific helmet that he wants. So he may actually win his dispute. And what I said before is, like yesterday, is that if I wouldn't be surprised if he wins this, and if I'm the NFL, I let him win. Because it generates more. If I'm looking for ratings and interest, people are going to tune in and see what Antonio Brown does, how he plays. Basically, Antonio Brown has put himself at center of attention, and that's really what he wants. And really, it's just generating interest, and he's doing stuff to trigger people. And he triggers a lot of people, especially in local media. Anything he does or tweets, you have at least one of them going after him. Then of course, they get mad when people come after them in reaction to it. But as you know, as I brought that up, Pinner Doozy, one of my followers, and of course I follow him as well, says that, you know, I don't think anyone's going to, you know, tune in just to see Antonio Brown. I guess that's, you know, tune in just because Antonio Brown's helmet battle. And he's got a point, because Well, I think it's going to generate interest, put him in the center of attention. All it's going to take is a few Raiders losses, and this whole thing with Antonio Brown just goes to the back page. It's right now short term. It's good for buzz. It's good for drama. But once the Raiders once the spring season kicks off, and the Raiders start losing games, it's all going to go on the back page. And if anything, that's probably what the NFL will do. I think he'll win, but then, you know, that's my prediction. He wins, but NFL could say, you know what? You're going to take the helmet and you're going to like it. It's the rules. If we keep making exceptions and everybody else follows. And, you know, people get mad at them, I'm sure. So, you know, people get pissed off the NFL because that's how it goes. But once the season starts, if the Raiders start losing games, people are going to forget about it. And it'll just be back page news like it always is. Anyways, guys, I'll finish up here. I saw a picked up a new transfer, John Petrushin from grad transfer from Penn State. He's got 2 years left to play. He's a safety. He's had medical issues. He's been hurt, but he wants to play here. Good for us. Anyways, guys, hopefully I'll have something for you after this. Hold up, Pitt. Bye.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers. Hunt for muddy puddles and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.